Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we explore the people, practices, and priorities shaping health and wellness across the Upper Cumberland. Today we're discussing hospice support, dignity and care, and how one local organization is helping families navigate the most vulnerable moments with compassion and grace. We're joined by Alma Shoemaker, Caring Hearts United in Cookeville, Tennessee. Alma and her team are devoted to supporting hospice patients, caregivers, and families across our region. Alma, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So to start off with, I would like for you, if you can tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and what inspired you to work with Caring Hearts United.
My background, I could go way, way back.
Okay.
Go back as far as you want.
Okay. Out of high school, I was a nurse's aide before they were certified
in a
Catholic hospital. Mm-hmm. So I did that for several years. And then as my family was growing, I stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And at different times, I've done different kinds of jobs. I worked with Great Lake Chemicals in Indiana.
Okay.
They did bromine. Hmm. So I worked in the lab there. And
okay.
It was... Flame retardants was our thing. So I've worked in several different labs, plastic labs, foam labs, things like that. Well, let's skip ahead to my last job. I worked at A.O. Smith for a while, and they closed down. And my husband, who is a truck driver, talked me into driving a truck. So I became his night shift for about 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I kind of retired. That's what I retired from. And in the meantime.
Were you across the U.S. or just?
Across the U.S., yeah.
Wow.
We were back and forth,
back
up
and
down.
East to west, okay.
Yeah.
North to south. I got you.
Didn't miss too many states, so.
Wow.
It was
long distance.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It was fun. If you can live in a bathroom size area with your hubby 24/7, you got it.
Okay. For 8 years.
For 8 years.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I didn't kill him too many times.
Well, he got a break while he slept, right? And you drove. And you got and you got your break.
I got my break. Yep. But no, it was a learning experience like everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it, in some respects, it makes you closer and more tolerant. So.
Of all kinds of people, I'm sure you came across.
Oh, yes.
Traveling the U.S.
Oh, yes. All kinds of people.
So how did that lead you into this job with Caring Hearts United?
Well, with Caring Hearts United.
Because I'm not making a connection between truck driving and hospice care, but go ahead.
I met Melinda Breedlove, who was the founder, along with her sister, Diane Sneed, who's the co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
I met Melinda at the Warren County Fair, and that was in 11. Okay. My mother had passed, and my dad had passed in 07, and my dad had been in hospice. So we stopped, and I like to say that she got me with a purple cow because they made these little treats, which is ice cream with the cool grape Kool-Aid, you know, and she sold purple cows frozen to eat. So we stopped, and we started talking to her, my husband and I did. And she was getting ready in December to have Wonderland of Trees, and she asked me if I might be interested in helping. And I said, sure. So in November, when it came around, I got with her, and I helped with the Wonderland Trees that year at Three Star Mall. Well, then I kind of like drifted away. I had some other things going on. And so it got later in the year, and I looked at the calendar, and it was getting to be November. So I told my husband, I said, I need to go out to the mall.
Yeah.
So I went back out there, and there she was, and then greeted me like I'd never left.
Yeah.
And I've been there ever since.
Since 2011, then, is when it started, right?
Actually, her first Wonderland of Trees was actually in 2010.
Okay.
They did it before they actually had their
So the first time you helped with them was in 11.
Was in 11, yeah.
Okay.
And it was just amazing. What she had accomplished. Let me give you a little of her background.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
What started it was her mother was in hospice care, and there's four sisters, And the four sisters were taking turns helping mom, you know, get through things. And it got to a point where they didn't really feel that comfortable anymore with the tasks that they were having to perform. So they called in hostess. Well, Melinda was totally against it. She says, we can do this. We don't need outside help. And the sisters outvoted her. Well, there was an occasion at the house that Melinda was there and the nurse was there. And apparently Melinda was on the verge of tears. And the nurse reached over and handed her a Kleenex. And Melinda said that was when she realized that hospice care was not just for the patient. Mm. It encompassed the whole family.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So her mother passed, and this was in 08. And it took her a while to get everything together. She was a businesswoman. She was an accountant and had her own business. And she kept thinking she wanted to do something to give back to the hostess unit that helped them. And at that time, the hostess units were still nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time she had really gotten an idea, most of them had already switched over to profit.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking with a lady at one of these units, and she said, well, if you feel that strong about starting something, think about a nonprofit. And Melinda's like, me start a nonprofit? Yeah. So I guess that's probably where that started.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had to think about, you know, getting the bylaws and all that other stuff together. So she got a bunch of her friends together in her office, and they started talking about what they could do. And they threw different ideas around, and it settled on working with hostess, period. I mean, you can get way out there and take on everything, but they needed to have, you know, a purpose. And so her purpose became giving smiles to hostess patients.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of our thing, is bring a smile to a hostess patient. And at that time, she went to Knoxville to a festival of trees they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back thinking that was a great idea and that she wanted to figure out how she could do that here in McMinnville. So she said she had a dream one night where she saw her mother. And in the dream, her mother had a pink decorated Christmas tree and said, I want a pink tree, to Melinda. And so every year we have a pink tree for
her mother.
In memory of her mother. And now we have also a purple tree in memory of Melinda because that was her favorite color.
Nice.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah. But it's just.
So Melinda has passed on
yes,
as well.
She,
okay.
We lost her 5 years ago to cancer.
Okay.
Okay.
What services does the nonprofit deliver to people? I mean, you talk about the Festival of Trees. Is that like a fundraiser for?
That's a fundraiser that we do in November.
Okay.
That's our main fundraiser.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
so all of you residents and listeners, where is this festival?
Will be in McMinnville at the 3-Star Mall.
Love it. Okay.
Which not
classic.
I'm not going to.
No, it's fine.
Oh, I was going to say, we usually refer to it as a 3-Star Mall.
About, you know, local people will know exactly where that's at.
They will.
So yeah, that's what we want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So that's your fundraiser. And then what services does that money go towards then for this nonprofit?
The services, I would say one of the main things that we do is 5 major holidays a year.
Okay.
We put together a care package for the hospice patient. And we always put in there something that they can eat,
mm-hmm.
something they can use, something just to pass the time, like a puzzle book, something mm-hmm. like that, and something to bring a smile.
Okay. Goes back to that mission.
Goes back to our mission, yeah.
Yeah, you want to bring a smile.
Now, and then, like I said, we do that 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
We also have spread out because we know there's a lot of hospice patients who do not have family.
Right.
So we also do a birthday bag.
Nice.
For those who who need one.
So those that don't have families that you guys. So how do people get referred to you, or how do you get, know about these people in the community?
We work with the hospice nurses.
Okay.
We work with the units.
So they know you're there in the community in McMinnville.
Right.
And we'll reach out to you guys when these items are needed.
Yeah. Recently, we just, it's something we've been doing, but the nurses did not have a grasp on what we, the services we could do.
Right.
So we had a get together with our volunteer coordinators and laid out everything that we could help with. And one of the things that we do is hospital sheets. Because that's a different size than a normal sheet. So we get sheets for the beds if they need them. We also have done food cards, you know, Walmart, Kroger's, stuff like that.
Yeah.
For families where the caregiver, or not the caregiver, but the patient is actually the breadwinner.
Okay.
That happens a lot too.
Yeah.
So we do help with that. If they need a gas card to get back and forth to the doctor, we'll do that. We are a very small organization, so there's a lot we can't do, but what we can't do, we try to refer to somebody else.
Yeah.
So,
and it's all volunteers
that
support this, put these baskets together, speak to the nurses that are in hospice, supply, you know, go out and get these gift cards with the funds that you guys bring in from your Festival of Trees.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
It's usually... me or one of the other girls, we will go pick up the stuff. And the volunteer coordinators are great about coming and picking things up for us.
All right. Well, more with Alma when we come back. We're continuing our conversation with Alma from Caring Hearts United. Alma, many people associate hospice with sadness, but there's also comfort, there's connection, and even peace in the process with hospice. So why do you think it's important to provide emotional and practical support, which it sounds like that's what the mission is with Caring Hearts United, to hospice patients and their caregivers?
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a big question.
The majority of the members of Caring Hearts have had a family member in hospice at one time or another.
Okay.
And letting them know that they're not alone. I think that's one of the biggest things, that if they're the only caregiver, if it's a wife, it's the husband's caregiver, it's letting her know that there's somebody out there that's thinking about them, praying for them, knows what she's going through, you know.
Can empathize.
Empathy is, yes. And empathy and compassion are kind of like major driving words for me. Because compassion, empathy you can do at home, you know, but when you are being compassionate, that's a like an adjective. You got to get out there and do something. And that's how we feel we're paying our compassion forward, is through the things that we do. So...
do you have any examples that you could tell us about of situations where, you know, you felt like, you know, there was a that feels really special to you as far as the compassion, like you could tell it made a difference?
Yeah. We get cards and letters from some of our receivers of our gift bags. And one a long time ago, it was a elderly lady, you could tell by her handwriting, that in the bag there was a back scratcher. And in it, she thanked us for the bag, and she said, the back scratcher, she said, now I can pull up my socks. We had another lady, she had just gone on hospice, and she sent a beautiful card and letter to us, thanking us for the bag, but stating that it was a nice way to start her journey, her new journey.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, and then we had a a member at one time, her father, before she got with Caring Hearts, got one of our bags. And Melinda was real hesitant about doing stuffed animals and things like that. You know, that's maybe a silly. But she went ahead and she did it, and it was a little puppy dog. And when this member's father got the puppy dog, he fell in love with it, and he kept it in bed with him, and it never left his side, even when he passed. It was...
Love it.
You know. Mm-hmm.
You never know the impact. You really don't. And that's why, you know, Dr. Lee and I talk about is you just really have to go with your gut and read the room.
You know, and
if you feel like... I mean, you guys aren't even physically seeing these people, but yet you're touching them with this compassion and providing independence and just letting them know somebody cares.
Mm-hmm. I've got to tell you one more story.
Oh, no, please do. I like stories.
Well, Melinda, like I said, she was our driving force.
Yeah.
And she came up for the 4th of July. She put together a coloring book. So we would put this coloring book together, and we would send it with the – well, we tried crayons, but they kind of get in July a little messy.
Yeah, wax doesn't do good.
So we went to colored pencils. But one of the messages we got back was that it was a grandmother, and her grandchildren were young, and they did not know how to react with grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when she got the coloring book, the grandkids could come in and sit down with her and do something.
Yep.
Together.
Just be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Puzzle books are great. We send out puzzle books a lot.
Yeah.
So I know one lady wrote that she sits down when she gets excited when she got the bag with her husband. He gets the candy. She got the puzzle book. So, I mean.
That would be the way it would be at my house. Yes. Yeah. My husband is, loves sweets and I'd be doing the puzzle book. So. Caregiving's hard. And unless somebody has been there and been a caregiver 100% of the time, it's just, it's lonely, like you said. And, makes little things do make a big difference.
It does.
Yeah.
I volunteered for a while with Amedisys, and they would call me, and I would go sit with people. Mm-hmm. And most of them didn't talk much.
Yeah.
But the caregiver was the one who needed the time away.
Yes.
To go get groceries, to get her hair done, whatever. And it was just maybe 2 hours out of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
So you were the respite, really. Yeah. Because, you know, we talk about that a lot, especially from nurses, nursing standpoint. You have to take care of yourself first before you're able to take care of someone else. And caregivers the same way. You know, unless they have that time to take care of themselves, they're not going to be the caregiver that they need to be.
Absolutely.
Or that they want to be. And everybody needs some respite, for sure.
Yeah, especially in difficult situations.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know that the end is coming.
Yeah.
You know, in your instance with your organization, it's not like somebody just has dementia or we don't know how long they have or they have Parkinson's and you're, caretaking. It's, there's an infinite amount of time that caregiver has. So, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the questions that was on our sheet was about some of the myths that there is out there about hospice. So I got a hold of one of my volunteer coordinators.
Love it.
And she gave me the called Hospice Myths and Facts. And this, some of them are pretty good. I just never really thought that a lot of people think that you have to sign a do not resuscitate.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Right. True. That's that right. You're right.
You can be resuscitated if that's what the family wants.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them think that, your doctor is, you never see him again. Well, that's not true. He's part of the team.
He is part of the team. A very active part of the team.
Yeah. I don't know. And a lot of people think, you go on hospice, you're gone.
Yes.
That's not true either.
That is right. It can be... reinstated. Mm-hmm. It can be removed if the patient improves.
It's every situation is different.
Right.
It is.
So.
But it's not a, for me, it's a different kind of care as a nurse. You're shifting from
prevention. You know, a lot of nurses, we want you to prevent diseases, or we want you to not get any sicker. And this is a completely different way of healthcare approach. You know, now we're making you comfortable, and I want you to have a quality of life.
Absolutely.
There's no quantity, because it's infinite right now. I mean, it's not infinite. It's finite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you on that. Well, I think this is a great place for us to pause, and let's come back and talk more about the myths. Today, we are joined by Alma Shoemaker of Caring Hearts United in McMinnville to talk about compassionate care and the community impact that they are making. So, Alma, we talked about the Wonderland of Trees that you guys have in November. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I do understand you guys are 100% donation.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. So everything's donated and everybody's volunteering. Okay.
We do not have a grant writer, which I wish we did.
Yes.
And I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Wonderland of Trees, like I said, is our biggest fundraiser. What it is you have individuals, churches, some of our hospice units, businesses, whatever. They donate a fully decorated Christmas tree. Some of them do wreaths or centerpieces, things Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a full week that everything is displayed at the mall, and it's a silent auction.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
It goes all week. Okay. And at 8 o'clock, well, I'm going to say 8 o'clock on Saturday, but the mall closes a little earlier now than they used to. But we pull up the clipboards, and whoever has the highest bid, or the last bid, I should say, they get the item. And
then that money goes to you guys. So the trees are donated. The wreaths are donated.
Mm-hmm,
and silent auction goes all week. I like that.
Yeah.
I love silent
we
auction.
Also...
Mm-hmm. I'm very competitive.
She may get a new Christmas tree this year.
I'm not boo. Anyway.
We have had some pretty exciting last minutes, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is. That's why I like it. We
had two ladies battling out the last 15 minutes one time.
Yeah.
And it was like finally one of them said, I can't go over that bid.
Yeah. Oh, you should see me at a live auction. I've got my number like this.
I love live auctions.
I do too. Anyway.
This one's silent.
Yeah, this one's a silent
auction. That's your biggest fundraiser.
Well, we also do activities during the week. We haven't planned them yet for the week, so I can't really discuss them. But
that's okay.
Usually we have entertainers. We have been doing a trivia.
Fun.
On one night, usually on Monday night. We have done some court karaoke. Things, you know, just something to bring more people in so they can like look and see what's going on.
Okay, so for the listeners, Emily just looked at me when she said karaoke, and I am not a singer, but I am a dancer. So if you have a dance competition, I am all in, Alma.
I know somebody. I know somebody.
But go ahead. That's just a little fun for the listeners there. But yeah. So you guys have, it sounds like you guys do a lot. That's a lot of work.
We do, and we also... If there is an empty area, store area, that the mall people, which is now the county people, let us use.
Nice.
We set up a Christmas store in there.
Nice.
And it's things that have been donated to us you know. And you can sometimes get some pretty good treasures in there.
Oh, I love a thrift store.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I walked away one year with a necklace that it was kind of unusual, but it just drew my attention.
Yeah.
And earrings, and when I looked them up, they were brand new, would have been like $250.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can get some good ones. Yeah.
Nice. And it goes to a good cause.
And it goes to a great cause.
Oh, yeah. Well, we also do a bake sale on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Every week?
Okay. No, just that week.
Just that week.
Okay. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No, no, not every week.
Yeah. Okay, during the tree week.
During the tree week. Yes. I wish we could...
So the bake sale brings in a pretty good amount as well.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Especially at that time of year. Uh-huh. I mean, that's right around Thanksgiving. You're getting close to it. Yeah.
Yo,
family coming in.
people love baked goods. When we do...
If they know who it's baked by.
Well, that's true, too.
Yes.
Well, they know who most of these are baked by.
And that's important.
Yeah,
for the listeners to know. These are good bakers, apparently, that are...
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Very good bakers.
A good bake sale.
Alma can certify.
Yeah, I can. Yes. I've ate most of what they brought in. So,
so it sounds like you have a very full week with the Wonderland of Trees, and that's kind of the finale. Is the final silent auction. Are there other events throughout the year that you guys do?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, there are.
Sometimes not.
We talked about trivia night. Karaoke.
That's the week of.
We have our bingo. We're playing bingo. I think that's, I want to say the 19th of October.
Okay.
It is a costume bingo, coming costume.
Olivia.
She's
okay.
But
Olivia's the programmer that's not in her head.
We have a good time with that. And when I talk about baked goods, we spoiled our people. We started doing baked goods as prizes.
Mm.
They will snatch those up before they'll take anything else.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a cakewalk. But it's bingo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I eye that stuff before. So I live in Jackson County. We have bake sales and benefits a lot. I've been last 2 weeks.
You're
going
to have to let us know when this is.
Yeah. I love a.
We also, the 2nd of August, we're doing a variety show at the Park Theater in McMinnville. Tickets are like $20. I heard the ad this morning on one of the stations.
Nice.
So. Yeah,
and this episode may air after that, but it's still one of your fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. And this will be like the 4th time that we've done something at the park. We've done a Patsy Cline tribute, which was really good. The lady that did it is fantastic. And then we started doing Hee Haw. And the people that we have gotten to volunteer their time are great entertainers. It's not lip syncing. It is them singing.
Mm, nice.
So it is well worth it. And that's like the variety show. It's 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it's going to be, I think, really interesting. Mainly because one of the girls is going to do some Tina Turner numbers. One of the guys he's doing Elvis, and then we got some, I think, Johnny Cash going on, and
you've got a good variety.
We do, and we got some really talented people. I mean, Warren and the surrounding areas are fantastic with talent. I mean, it's you know,
And the Upper Cumberland, I think, is very blessed with very talented artistic people, the Appalachian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, background.
One of the things we have not talked about is where our bags actually go to.
Yeah, yes. Tell us.
Let me. In the past, we had 3 units that were here in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were bought out by another unit, and so now we have 2 here. One's actually in Allgood, which might as well be Cookeville, and then there's one in Livingston, and we have 2 in. Crossville.
Okay.
We have Manchester, Tullahoma, Kimball, McMinnville. I don't think I'm missing something because there's like 11 units that we work with. We did work with 13, and we were doing.
Do you go to Carthage?
The bags may.
Okay. All right.
We have gotten cards back from Red Bowling Springs.
Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we don't know where exactly the bags go to, but I know that we used to cover all of Center Tennessee.
Okay.
We do roughly.
Can families request bags? Or does the request, like if somebody's on and listening to this broadcast, is there a way, or do they tell their hospice nurse?
They talk to the hospice nurse.
Yes, perfect.
We do everything through the hospice nurses.
Good.
Cards, anything like that.
Okay. No contact with patient or caregivers, which, I appreciate that with, privacy and, but I just didn't
the
know
only
if a
contact, you know, yeah. The only contact we get is when they send us cards.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. So that
and they're reaching out to you.
Yeah, yes. They're reaching out that way.
Yeah.
But, We lost the Nashville group that we were doing because they got a new director. And she didn't think that she had a volunteer that could come down this to pick up the bags.
Yeah.
So we went from, what was it, 800 bags a holiday down to about 650. But I picked up another unit to help replace that one and probably find somebody else too.
Absolutely.
Wow, so that's a lot of bags per holiday.
We did, last year we did over 3,800 bags.
That was
going to
be my next question. That's amazing.
Yeah. That is. That's wonderful work you guys are doing.
Yeah. So how can someone get in touch with you at Caring Hearts United if they want to learn more, if they want to make a donation, or we already talked about how they would request support from their hospice nurse, but how can they get in touch with you or make donations?
Well, the easiest way to get in touch, if you have a computer, would be to go to caringheartsunited.com. That is our webpage. And there is a button on it that says, well, there's one for donating. Mm-hmm. There's also one for getting involved.
Okay.
So you can send me your information and somebody will reach back out to you. We are on Facebook, Caring Hearts United, on Facebook.
Awesome.
We try to monitor Facebook.
But the best way is to go on...
Yeah,
the internet directly to your website. Uh-huh. I understand.
And if you do not have internet, Facebook, any of that stuff, our phone number is 931-507-0304. And you will leave a message because we're not in the office all the time.
Right.
Yep.
And sometimes it takes me a day or two.
Okay.
Perfectly fine. Absolutely.
Alma might get back to you in a day or two, but she will get back to you. So
somebody will. Yeah.
Yeah. CaringHeartsUnited.com. You're on Facebook. 931-507-0304. And leave a message.
Finally, this will be our last moments. This time has gone by fast, Alma. What message would you like to leave with the listeners today?
My final thoughts on that would be that as we get older, we all have a little extra time. And you need to be out there in the community doing. Whether you are with Caring Hearts or one of the other nonprofit groups in your area, you need to get involved. It gives you a little more purpose. It shows you the workings of your neighborhood and your neighbors. And then you realize how blessed we are to live where we are.
Well, I'm going to thank our listeners for joining us today. Whether through kindness, time, or resources, we all have the power to bring comfort and hope to others.